Thanks, Ben. Welcome, church. This is a particularly special year for me. I'm happy to be standing here again because I haven't been up here to share the Word of God with you for quite some time. It's been maybe a year and a half. So I'm happy to be back. And this year marks my 25th year as a Christian. So 25 years tends to be an important milestone, and it's also my 25th year in Home of Christ. So you can imagine where I first came to believe in Jesus. 25 years ago, I asked Jesus to enter my life, and for years after that, I wondered why it took me so long to believe in Jesus. I was 50 years old, and I think about so many people, even in this church, who didn't hear the Word of God until they became adults. And after they came to an evangelistic meeting and or they read something, but it made them think about life and what happens to our lives after they're over. Like most Americans who grew up in this culture, I started Sunday school when I was about 5 years old, like a lot of you. But the years passed by so quickly. Suddenly I was a teenager, and then I was a young adult, and then I was a older adult, and then I came to believe. So the process is a mystery to me. And I think that's one of the things that we will look at today. But let's start today with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word and for this church and for hearing our prayers. Thank you for caring enough about each one of us to protect us from the world. It's so comforting as your followers to know that when Jesus died and was raised to heaven, he didn't leave us alone. He left us with the Holy Spirit, living within every one of us as believers. So help us to live our lives with gratitude to you for your abundant blessings. And we thank you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're studying the second part of Jesus' prayer to God the Father on the day before he was betrayed. This is the longest prayer recorded in the New Testament. Elder David spoke last week about the first part of his prayer, which it was for himself. Jesus prayed for himself. And today we move forward into the second part of three, which is Jesus praying for his disciples. So let's read together, starting from chapter 17, verse 6. Chapter 17, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe, so that by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Verse 13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. This passage allows us to look deep into the deepest places in Jesus' heart, to see what's most important to him on the night before his passion. Jesus prays this long prayer to his heavenly Father on the day he's preparing to leave the world. His greatest concern is not that he's preparing to endure unparalleled pain and suffering on the cross. His greatest concern is that he has to leave his disciples in the world and leaving them without protection. Verse 12 tells us, while Jesus was with the disciples, he protected them and kept them safe. What did they need protection from? On one level, the world was filled with people and religious groups who hated Christians and persecuted them. But on another level, 1 John 5:19 tells us, the whole world is under control of the evil one. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. You see, when Jesus leaves the world, the entire responsibility for sharing the gospel in this evil world will fall upon the shoulders of the disciples. In today's prayer, Jesus gives the Father a kind of progress report, if you will, for his earthly ministry. And he measures this by the disciples' progress for the past 3 years. How well have they been doing? Jesus tells the Father in verses 6 to 8 that they obeyed God's word. They knew everything Jesus taught them had come from the Father. And they accepted the words that were given. Most important, the disciples believed God's word. So why was Jesus so concerned about leaving the disciples? Didn't he spend 3 years with them, nearly 24 hours a day, teaching, preaching, and preparing? You only have to look back as far as your own personal Christian background for an answer. Why Jesus was so concerned? How long did it take you to believe when you first heard the Bible? Some of us believed from the first day, but a lot of us took much, much longer. I read in one poll that 94% of Christians made the decision for Christ before they were 18 years old. For others like me, it took a lot more time. Look at the disciples themselves. For the Apostle Peter, or the Apostle Thomas, for example, he had to see the nail-pierced hands in Jesus' hands. But when he did, he never doubted again. And the gospel became alive in his life. For the Apostle Peter, he came to confess Jesus as the Christ only after being pressed by Jesus to confess who he was. He confessed in Matthew 16:16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Every one of us has a different threshold of doubt in our lives. Think back to when you first believed in Jesus. Did you believe because of your own initiative or God's? Why did you first believe Jesus or believe what the Bible wrote? I propose to you it was God's initiative that drew you first to the Father and then to the Son, and it wasn't your own initiative. Assuming today you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, why did you believe when you did? Or maybe a better question would be, why didn't you believe? Did you change something inside? Or did something you read or heard change you? I believe that the answer lies in John 6:44. John wrote, "Jesus said, 'No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws me.'" I'll skip the second part, but Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him in." This is the only explanation that makes sense to me as one who rejected or ignored the gospel until I was 50 years old. Something drew me to him. It wasn't an event or a concert or a miracle. I didn't do it. I believe God did it. It was his initiative. So this gives me great confidence and a deeper faith in God, that he held out his hand and his heart to me, even though I rejected him for so many years. This should give all of us confidence as well that God still reserves a place for our loved ones who now unbelieve, but one day they will come, they may come to God's kingdom. In today's prayer for the disciples, we can group what he prays into four disciplines, which align into an easy acronym to remember, OPUS. O-P-U-S. An opus usually refers to a great work of music or art. But here it gives us a helpful little acronym to remember these four disciplines. O-P-U-S. O is obedience to the word. P for protection in and from the world. U, among believers. Unity, and S for sanctification. So let's look at obedience first. Verse 6 reads, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. So how did the disciples demonstrate their obedience? They confirmed their obedience to God in three ways. First of all, by knowing Jesus came from God. The scripture says they knew with certainty that Jesus himself came from the Father. Secondly, by accepting the words from the Father. Knowledge doesn't necessarily mean acceptance. But the disciples truly accepted the word. And thirdly, by believing that God sent Jesus. The disciples believed that the Father sent Jesus so that they could know for certainty that Jesus came from God. Without that, they couldn't believe. The second category is protection. The second letter in our handy acronym is Jesus is deeply concerned for the protection of his disciples. He's concerned for them in the world after he leaves. Protection from what? Well, we know that the fate of Jesus on the cross just the next day, but persecution is waiting for the disciples as well. So Jesus prays for God to protect them in verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. I'm reading from verse 11. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse 12. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. The disciples are in the world, but they're not of the world. While they're in the world, Jesus doesn't pray for them to be taken out of it, but for God to protect them from the evil one in the world. Like the disciples, you and I are called to live and serve and worship in the world, but we're not of the world. If God pulled believers out of the world and after they accepted Christ, who would be left to serve? Remember, the disciples were called out of the world to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, but they're not of the world. So for you and me, do we need protection from the world and worldliness? I think the answer is obvious. This is an age when there are so many temptations and distractions that tend to take us away from our faith, take us away from our relationship with Jesus. Many people can't understand our faith, our devotion to the teachings of Jesus. As Christians, we want to do the right thing, and we want our children to see what that looks like. The world teaches children it's okay to disobey authority, and it's okay to disregard morality, goodness, and virtue. Just look at the society around us. Selfishness and self-indulgence are everywhere. They've become a rule rather than an exception. There's no question that as Christians, we need God's protection from the evil one. You and I are not of the world. We live in the world and have the opportunity to change the world. Verse 14, Jesus prays, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. So the third discipline in our acronym is unity. Jesus prays to God for the unity of the disciples. In verse 11, he prays, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. He prays for the unity between the disciples, like the unity between God the Father and his Son Jesus. No relationship could be closer. John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. So this needs to be our motivation for unifying the church. Today's churches have to consistently work on the unity of the body, particularly in a church like ours where the congregations are separate. We've had to separate for good reasons over the years. But so now we have a Chinese congregation and an English congregation, and we should be thankful for both. And I'm thankful that Elder Thomas was ordained last year as an elder to represent our English ministry. That's a big step in the direction of unifying our entire church. We have to remember that it's up to us to pray for Thomas and all the elders, and for the unity of our elder board and all of these members. So the fourth discipline is sanctification. Sanctification. In verse 17, we read, Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We shouldn't be too intimidated by the word sanctification. It's a word that sounds deep and theological, but it just means to be set apart. To be made holy for God's purposes. God set the disciples apart from other Christians and from the world by giving them unique tasks. And Jesus himself was sanctified or set apart to do God's will, which at this point means his death and resurrection. So to conclude this, in the prayer today we read, we get to see deeply and intimately into the heart of Jesus Christ. He spent the past 3 years with the same 12 men, and he knows every heart. He knows their needs, their capabilities, their weaknesses, their strengths, and He knows what they will each achieve in the future. His heart is set in this prayer to make sure that the disciples continue to learn and continue to practice these four critical disciplines: obedience, protection, unity, and sanctification. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for every one of us to live out Jesus' prayer. Help us to obey all of the precepts and commandments that your word sets before us. Protect us from worldliness and from the evil one who seeks to drive wedges between our families, our brothers, and our sisters. Unify us in our worship and in our families and in our service to others. And sanctify us. Set us apart from a world that seeks to destroy the church. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.